Now, obesity is on the rise, and some recent modelling apparently predicts that the amount of people considered as obese may actually outweigh the healthy within the next decade. Researchers from the University of Sydney's Charles Perkins Centre anticipate that as many as 1 in 6 women and 1 in 10 men may be severely obese within the next decade. Now, lead researcher for that group is Dr. Alison Hayes. She's on the phone right now. Alison, good morning.
Good morning.
Now, thanks for joining us. I'm quite curious about those stats, including the one about the gender disparity, because I think I'd kind of assumed that obesity was a predominantly male problem.
So no, in fact, even right now, I mean, the statistic you said about the severe obesity, that's actually a BMI of over 35. And even right now, women have higher rates of severe obesity than men, and that's projected to increase into the future.
Now, I just did not anticipate that at all. I mean, has your research looked at kind of the etiology? Why have we got such an amazing obesity problem?
So my research actually is really just with the numbers,
right,
population level numbers. But I think that there is, there is research that's shown that women do find it difficult to, or they may find it difficult to control their weight during and after pregnancy. So returning to their pre-pregnant weight can be difficult. So that may be the reason for the differences in those extreme BMI categories, the differences between men and women. However, I will point out that actually women are better represented in healthy weight. So they're kind of, the distribution is just more spread. So in fact, at the moment, healthy weight for men runs only at about 30%, and right now for women it's about 44%. So I guess they're just more represented in the extremes.
And what are you defining as healthy weight for that?
So healthy weight, we define, is a BMI of under 25.
Now, BMI has often got a bit of a bad rap as being not necessarily a great indicator.
Absolutely. Not necessarily the best indicator of adiposity, but the work I'm doing is dealing with populations, and BMI is still the easiest way to track adiposity in a population because it just requires measuring height and weight. And, you know, we have most data on BMI. So I guess it still remains the easiest way to track obesity. It's not necessarily the best measure. And it doesn't, it doesn't actually distinguish between muscle mass and fat mass. But I don't think we think Australia's BMI is increasing because everybody's getting more muscular. I don't think we...
I think it depends on who you ask at the pub, I'm sure.
But I'm talking, at a population level, it's not because we're becoming more muscular.
I'll give you that one. And of course, when you say adiposity, you just mean levels of fat in the human body,
yes,
don't you?
Yes, yes.
Now, why are we so worried about this? I mean, I get that it can put a strain on, say, the healthcare industry, but I mean, is this a huge problem going forward for Australia?
I think it potentially is a huge problem. I mean, it's a problem for individuals because your risk of cardiovascular disease, cancer, is increased if you are in those higher BMI categories. So, the risk for chronic disease is greater. That plays into healthcare costs, but more importantly, I mean, personal quality of life. If you have chronic disease or cancer, it's so definitely it is a problem going into the future, and it's not a problem of the few because, in fact, at the moment, 2/3 of the population, adult population, is either overweight or obese.
2/3.
Mm-hmm.
Is there a particular age group that's represented here?
So I think it tends to be people in there around about the 60s that have the highest rates of obesity in the population, but it's kind of because weight gain is cumulative. Most people put on a little bit of weight every year and don't take it off.
It gets harder to take it off as you get older, trust me. Now, I'm kind of curious, I mean, I know your research is mostly around the numbers, but where do we start correcting this? Is this about education? Is this about sort of government sponsorship and activities? Where do you think we can start actually making a difference here?
Yeah, so that's a really big question, and you know, I think, you know, it's a multifaceted problem, and I think that the solutions are also going to come from many, many different sectors. So, you know, that might be education, it might be engaging with the food industry, you know, lifestyle factors. There's a whole range of things. I mean, basically, I think as time has gone on, our physical activity has gone down, our lifestyle has completely changed. We have relatively low-cost food, and we can buy low-cost, high-energy food. And, you know, at a population level, we've just got out of balance. So, you know, there are lots of things that could be done, but I don't think any one intervention or program will be the solution. Just from the modelling work I've done, I will say that I think that young adults are a target group, and also children. And the reason I say that is that from the recent data, young adults actually gain more weight in a year than older adults. Now, that might seem counterintuitive, but what happens is, of course, that weight gain tends to be cumulative, and young adults aren't necessarily currently, even if they're not currently in an obese category, they are actually, as a population group, young adults gain more kilograms every year than older adults.
Alison, some very sobering statistics there. Thank you very much for chatting to Breakfast this morning. I appreciate it.
Thank you. Bye-bye.